Scripture verse or scripture for this morning is found Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Now, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we ask that you give me the words to speak, Lord, and that the people will receive what you have for them. And we ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. My daughter came up with the title for this. I couldn't think of what to name it, so she said sweet and sour. She thought that was pretty fitting for the fruits. But I'm going to talk about a few different things here. Starting out with the gate, the narrow gate, says that it's very narrow and it's difficult. And the road that leads to destruction is very broad, very wide. And I don't know if you've been on narrow roads. I've been on a few of them, and sometimes they're so narrow two cars can't even meet. You know, you can't get around them. They're very difficult to travel on. But the way of sin, which is the broad road, seems really easy. You know, you get tempted to do something, and it's very easy to fall into the temptation. I've never quite figured out why it is that it's when you get this idea in your head that it's okay to take something that's not yours. It's easier to do it than to not do it. I've not figured out why, but you know, or as a child. You know, when you're a child and your mom and dad ask you, why'd you take the cookie? Well, I didn't take the cookie. You know? And they might have caught you red-handed. But you still deny it, that you didn't take the cookie, you know? And it just seems easier to stay back in the background and not say anything when somebody does something wrong. You know, than to stand up and say, hey, you did that. That's not right to do. You know, it's a wrong thing. It seems like that road is just really hard to travel. You know, it's just so much easier to give in and say, okay, you know, it's all right, whatever, you know, and not think too much about it. And you know, you look at what makes it so that the road is hard. Well, when you look at Christ and what he did, it was never easy for him. You know, he was complained at, yelled at, accused of things that he didn't do, and eventually beaten and crucified. So even for him, that road was narrow and it was hard. How did he get through it? And that he spent a lot of time talking to the Father. spending time in prayer. And that is how we get through it. That's how we have the courage to stand up and say, that's wrong, don't do that. Or that's against what's right for me. I can't participate in that and walk away. It's our chosen path that we take of spending time in God's Word, spending time with the Lord. And trying to make it so that others will see Jesus in us. Okay? So we go into the next part of this, of talking about the fruits. And I want to go into Galatians chapter 5, and it's verse 22 through 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So these are the good fruits. And when we allow Jesus to come into our life and to change it, these are what fruit people should see from us. You know, I was thinking about fruit when I was working on this, and how if fruit gets bad, you know, or it's not ripe enough, either way, it has a very unpleasant taste. Sometimes an unpleasant smell, an unpleasant thing to look at. But when it's fresh fruit and it's ripe and it's ready, and it's good fruit, it's sweet. It tastes really sweet to the mouth to taste it. But when it's not ripe enough, it's sour. It's tart. Makes you pucker to eat it. Some people like that. I have a friend that loves to eat lemons. And she'll eat a lemon, she'll peel it and eat it like an orange. And I don't know how she does it. It's like, ooh, that makes my mouth pucker just thinking about it, you know. But when you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, which is, you know, the Spirit comes into us when we accept Jesus. So if we're spending time in God's Word, we're spending time with Jesus, building this relationship between Him and us, these are the fruit that people should see. The spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And they should be sweet. You know, to have patience, and that's never been one of my strong suits. I don't know how many people are. I have found a few people in my life that seem to have the patience of a saint, as they say. Just nothing bothers them. But for me, patience has never been one of my strong points. And I've never thought of myself as being a real likable person to other people. Growing up, I liked being around animals more than I liked being around people. It was kind of like my dog was my best friend, you know. He didn't bite me, he didn't bark at me, he didn't growl at me. And I could tell him anything and he wasn't going to tell anybody. So he was my best friend. And I didn't have much use for people because kids are mean, you know. Kids will lie to you, they'll steal from you, they'll beat you up. I spent a lot of time being slammed into lockers and that when I was in ninth grade. And, you know, they're not trustworthy most of the time. I do have a few friends that I've had them since I was a kid. And they're Christian women and have been very faithful friends. But for the most part, I haven't had good luck with people, so I didn't have a lot of faith in them. But as I have gotten closer to the Lord over the years, and my life had changed to where I was accepting people better, they were accepting me better. I started realizing one day that, you know, I wasn't as grouchy and irritable with people, you know. I didn't walk around with a frown on my face and, you know, look like, as my dad said, my world came to an end. And he wasn't really a good one to say anything because he always said he had a black cloud over his head. So, you know, I always thought I came by it naturally, the depressed attitude. But I found that as the fruit of the Spirit started building in me, it was easy to start showing love to people and to have patience with people and to be kind to them. And my faith built, the gentleness built, and the self-control built up. So what does this mean? When people see this and that they, when people see it, it changes them. And I've gotten to experience this some with my job that I have now, because every one of my clients tell me they really like me. They don't know me, but they really like me. And I can't figure out why. You know, I keep looking, what have I done that makes them like me? And the Lord says, you show them me. And I went, wow. You know, I hadn't really thought about that. But when they get in my car, I have Christian music playing. When somebody says something that something's going wrong, I'll pray for you. You know, and these people aren't dumb. You know, they have issues, but they're not dumb people. They understand a lot more than what people give them credit for. And I think that they're a good judge of character. So for them to tell me that they like me says a lot for God, because I'd like to think that's who they're seeing when they see me. So what we need is to make sure that we have the fruit of the Spirit so that our fruits that people are seeing are sweet fruits and they're not sour fruits, that they make them feel good, that they want to know what it is about us that's different, so that they don't see the same thing that they see all around them. You know, the world is a messed up world. And, you know, everyone in this world is looking for a way out, something that's going to help them, something that's going to show them there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Some more than others. I mean, some people are looking and, well, my life is okay, you know. It's not like so-and-so's over there. But you have to ask them, you know, if it's okay, then why is it you don't feel quite right? Why is it you don't seem quite as happy as what you think you ought to be? And I've asked that question to a couple people, and the question I got, or the answer that I got from them, was that, well, something feels like it's missing. And I said, that's Jesus. That's what's missing. Because when you allow him to come into your life, and you let him start guiding you, whatever happens is in his plan, the good and the bad. You know, I say this road that we take with him is a narrow and it's a hard road, but we're not doing it alone. And I think that's the biggest thing that people need to realize. You know, they think that when they accept Jesus, and Christian churches and that are a lot to the blame for this. You know, people receive Christ and it's like, okay, you're good. And they're all excited and, oh, on fire for God. And then reality hits. Their first bump on the road, and they're going, what happened? I don't understand. This was supposed to be a good thing, you know? And they have the misconception that because you accept Jesus into your life, that everything is all good. Not going to have any bad. It's going to be an easy road now. And he's telling us it's not going to be an easy road. It's never going to be an easy road. But he's going to be there with us through all of it. And when we go through those trials where we lose someone or we've lost our job or finances just took a nosedive and we found ourselves in the poorhouse, whatever it might be, Jesus is still with us. He gives us the strength. He gives us the courage. Everything that we need to keep going. All we have to do is let him lead. And one of the things that I thought about for this was driving down the road. And, you know, they're making such a big issue now about things that sidetrack you, you know, as you're going down the road. And, you know, you turn the radio knob or grab a coffee out of your holder. Whatever it is, you take your eyes off the road for a second. And all of a sudden, the guy in front of you just, you know, slams on his brake and you didn't see him and there you are, you know. You've hit him. Or a deer came out in front of you. Whatever it might be in that instant that you had your eyes off the road. Jesus is that same way. If we get our eyes off him, even for an instant, then we're starting to look around at the world. And we're starting to see things that we shouldn't be seeing. And we get tempted to take a different path than what he had us on. The good thing about it is all we got to do is get our eyes back on him and he'll get us right back on the path where we need to be going. But sometimes it's not that easy to get our eyes back on him once we've taken them off. So my thoughts for today on it, to keep our fruits being what we want people to see and to stay on that road that is narrow and hard, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take them off. Keep your eyes centered on him. Read the word. Spend time in prayer with him. Make sure that he's the first thing you think about in the morning, the last thing that you think about at night, and everything in between. Make him your very best friend. Closer to you than your husband, your brother and sister, your best friend. Make him everything. And then what people are going to see, they're going to see those fruits come through that are the fruits of the Spirit. And our relationship will be what it should be. You'll know, as I was talking to Nicole, I was telling her that as we get close to the Lord and we build this relationship that God has wanted since the beginning of time, that, you know, we've all had our moments, you know, where we've been really close to the Lord and we've been away from the Lord. But as we build this relationship up with him, we will see how our path and God's path will become the same. Our desires and God's desires will become the same. We will become one with him. And I used to think about it as a kid. I'd argue with my dad about it, that, well, I want to do this. And my dad would ask me, he said, well, is that what God wants you to do? Well, I think so. And he says, well, have you asked him? Well, no. Then how do you know that's what way he wants you to go? And I says, well, I don't know. He says, you need to talk to him. You need to make him your best friend so that you'll know what path he wants you on, or when you're on the right path, you'll know it. And he was very right in what he said, because the closer I've gotten to the Lord, the more I've I've known where I need to be. And when I start getting off that path just a little bit, and that I get this nudge, just this feeling of it's not right. You need to get back over onto this chunk here. And I leave it alone and I go back, and then I feel the peace of God again, and I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And that's how it is when we have our relationship. You know, just like last Sunday talking about having that foundation of Jesus being our rock. Because it all goes together. And it seems like this is what God has been talking to me about so much, is a relationship with Jesus. That He is our everything. To seek Him, and He's there already. You know, the scripture that came to my mind when I was doing this was Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me." And that is, you know, that is it. He's with us. He wants to be with us. He wants that relationship with us. And he's always there knocking. All we have to do is look for him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are knocking on our door and that you are wanting to have a relationship with your people. Help us, Lord, to follow you and to make you in control of our lives. And we ask it in your name. Amen.